Hour two of the John Murphy Show. We move into Hall of Fame Hour on the John Murphy Show with Dermot Thomas scheduled to join us in a minute. Jim Kelly, Bills Hall of Fame quarterback, will be joining us a little bit later on this hour, so stick around for that. We'll take your phone calls as well. If you have comments or questions for Thurman Thomas, he's with us right now, and the lines are open, 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame running back, making his regular weekly appearance with us. Good evening, Thurman. How are you tonight?
Doing good, man. My buddy Jimbo on afternoons.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Wow, man, you're pretty popular, man.
Well, with the old guys, anyway. The kids don't really buy into it, but the old Thurman, this is the problem with only talking to you once a week. We have to go back and look at last Sunday's game. Among the worst performances by a Bills team that I've seen in a long time, Thurman. That was tough to watch. I'm sure you kept an eye on that game.
Yeah, it was. And boy, I tell you what, I mean, even after the first play, Rainey goes 80 yards for a touchdown. You can almost sense, like, wow, there's a problem. And it seemed like at that point in time, the guys were a little bit dejected. But, you know, obviously being the first play of the game, but, you know, throughout the entire game, I mean, just, you know, too many turnovers. You know, you have four turnovers, you're not going to win a football game. And just the excitement, the energy, knowing how important the game was, even the week before against Atlanta, knowing how important that, I know that was a devastating loss, but, you know, to come out and, man, and have a performance like that was not very good from this football team, who expectations have been, you know, I think not only for them, but, you know, for us. I mean, if you look at the fans and you look at the former players and the media and so forth, you know, I think coming into this season, we were hoping for, you know, maybe 7, 8, maybe even 9 wins, you know, something like that. But right now we're looking at, it could be a record that could have been, it could be something that was last year, 6-10,
sure.
Or it could be worse. So hopefully, you know, they can pick it up against Jacksonville.
How do teams come out flat, Thurman? How do teams? I mean, you only play once a week, whether it's pro football or college. How do teams come out and really not be ready right at the start to play and play with a level of intensity?
You know what, John? I that's a hard question for me to answer, because I think the teams that I play, we were ready to play almost every single week. Obviously, you know, some teams where, you know, that we were favored to beat. We probably didn't beat them by that much, but, you know, we got the W some way, somehow, you know, whether it was by 3 points or 6 points or whatever. But, you know what, John, it's a hard question for me to answer, because I'm not over there.
Yep.
You know, I'm not over there with those players 24/7 practicing, going through film, going through, you know, just being around those group of guys. So I really can't tell you, you know, how, you know, they can come out and not be have that energy and not have that, you know, the awareness of, hey, you know, we need to play well. But I did say it early in the year, you know, after New England, after Carolina, I said, this is the way that it has to be every single week. Every single week. And I told the coaches that, some of the players, and it just seemed like the latter part of the year, you know, that hasn't been the case.
Yeah. There's been a lot of talk here at One Bills Drive over the last couple of weeks, Thurman, about leadership, accountability, and learning how to be a pro. What did that mean to you when you played? Who did you look to as guys that, yeah, that's an NFL player right there, and he knows how to get ready? I'm not talking about game day either. I'm talking about during the course of a week, guys who, you know, knew what it took to get ready to play. Was there anybody you played with that you thought really had that part of it down?
You know what, it was a combination of a whole bunch of guys. You look at Darryl. You know, you look at Bruce. You know, even though sometimes Bruce made a skip Wednesday or skip Thursday. You know, but he was always a guy that when you saw him doing interviews, you always talk about, you know, watching film, doing the little things. You know, watching the left tackle. You know, Bruce used to say always, well, I know when the left tackle does this, if he gets in a certain stance or what have you, you know, that is going to be a pass or a run. So, and Jim and being around Kent, I mean, how could you not be, I mean, look at a player like Jim, who was calling his own plays. So, I mean, he had to be, you know, held accountable. He had to be, you know, focused all the single, every single game and every single week and every single practice. So, you know, it was just a combination of a lot of guys that, you know, you look at a guy like Darryl Taylor. Darryl Taylor probably could have called every single defense and not had, you know, and it probably could have been the defensive coordinator for Walt Corey and probably was sometimes on the football field. So, and I don't think you have that over there right now. I know Kiko is a, you know, he's a rookie, and maybe that might happen for him his second, third year. I don't know. But it just doesn't seem like you have, you know, a bunch of guys over there like the type of guys that we had that could, you know, I just think, you know, there's so much stuff going on with social media and, you know, doing stuff here and doing stuff there. You know, basically what we wanted to do was just play football and worry about stuff during the off season. And, you know, like I said, there's so much stuff out there right now, you know, with the NFL and, you know, in a, you know, some of these guys want to be on the NFL Network all the time, NFL in the morning, ESPN. You know, I think sometimes that stuff gets in the way and you just have to focus on football. You're only here for 6 months. You might as well make the best of it. And I think that's what, as guys, as players, that's what we did as football team, you know, over here at One Bills Drive the time that I was there.
You know, when we talk about accountability and people look at your era, everybody sort of points at Darryl Taylor as a guy who, among others, kept guys accountable. How would he do that, Thurman? I mean, would he call people out like, hey, you missed the tackle or you got to be better? How specifically, what would Thurman or what would Darryl Taylor do?
Well, you know what? He would probably say, hey, Biscuit. You can hear him a bunch of times. Hey, Biscuit, you know, hey, you got to make that play next time. Or, hey, Andre, you know, you got to get that first down. Hey, Jim, you got to, you know, you got to hang in the pocket just maybe a second longer. Or, hey, Thurman, you know, hey, look, you know, instead of, you know, getting 3 yards, we need 10 yards out of you. I mean, he would always just keep guys up and just reminding them how important not every game was, but every play was. So, you know, when you have a guy like that consistently, you know, talking whether it was offense, defense, or special teams, I know Jim used to, like, if we had a passing play, and I know Jim used to always at a certain point in time, you know, Jim would say to the offensive lineman, hey, I might need a couple more extra seconds here, you know, to let the play develop. And just little things like that. And I don't know if you have that over there right now.
Yeah. Is there a line to walk between that sort of accountability and calling each other out and becoming the bickering Bills? No, seriously. I mean, if you push too hard, all of a sudden you don't get along, you're fighting, and, you know, there's divisions right on the team, right?
Right, right. And I think there's a great group of guys over there, and I don't think that they will be able to – I don't think they'll push each other's button like, I guess, like the 89 bickering Bills. You know, I mean, we – you know, after that happened, you know, it turned against – you know, it was just, you know, well, who's – creating all this or doing all this stuff, and we pretty much turned our attention to the media and put everything toward them.
Yeah.
And I've talked to Jerry Sullivan about it. I say, boy, I just wish somebody on this team would just really just lay into you like Cornelius did or like I did, you know, for writing a certain article or what have you, you know. I just don't know what it is that could get these guys to realize, you know, that, hey, you're only going to be playing this game for a short period of time, man. And every time you walk on that football field, you have to be motivated every single time.
We're on the line with Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas. If you have comments or questions, he'll be with us for the next couple of minutes. 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Here is John in Rochester. John, you're on the air with Thurman.
John, hey, Thurman. Thurman, by getting rid of Tashard Choice, do you think that caused some dissension? He was a wall-like guy, I understand, in the locker room. And, you know, I could see why they did it. But, man, I'll tell you, to me, the Choice was a heck of a back, and it had to cause a little dissension. Do you think that had anything to do with their performance Sunday?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. Did Wingo even get an opportunity to play in the game?
Yeah, he played a little bit.
He got in at least one play.
Yep.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I know, I guess, CJ and Fred, you know, wore his jersey to practice the next day. So, I mean, but you know what, John? You see that happen all the time, and it's not just with Tashard. You see it happen all the way around the league. And sometimes you do scratch your head and be like, oh, wow, I wait late in the season to do something like that, and especially, you know, with Tashard. I think he was a leader on that football team, and obviously didn't get a lot of playing time, but I think you have to have that veteran leadership somewhere. And to me, he was that guy on offense along with Fred. Now, you know, you look at our situation. You know, we had leaders in every single position. And I don't know if the Bills have that. You know, like I say, Jim, Andre, Ken Hall, you know, Pete Masalard at tight end. So I don't know if you have that right now. So I would say that it didn't have anything to do with their performance on Sunday. They just didn't come out ready to play.
Do leaders on the roster have to be the better players on the roster, Thurman?
Not necessarily. You know, I think, you know, because you, eventually your superstars are going to make plays, but I think, you know, at a certain point in time, other guys have to make plays and they have to be a leader. I know Mark Pike was a leader, but on special teams, just like Steve Tasker was. So I don't think you necessarily have to be a star to be a leader. You know, if you put in hard work and you put in, you know, the time in the film room and then limit. And one of the things that we tried to do as a football team, we tried to limit our mistakes. And I think that's what helped us and helped Marv, you know, help us succeed is that, hey, look, if we can limit the turnovers, eliminate the penalties, you know, we'll have a very shot of winning every single football game. And that statement always held true with Marv Levy.
On the line with Thurman Thomas, you're welcome to join us. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Katie in Buffalo. Hi, Katie. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Thurmanator. I was just calling to ask, is clearly you're one of the best draft choices we've ever made. I was just wondering who you think was the best draft choice we've made since, like, say, in the last 5 to 10 years.
Best draft choice in recent Bills history.
Wow. Man.
There's been some good players. Lee Evans, very good pro. Marshawn Lynch,
yeah.
Still playing in the league.
Yeah.
Paul Puzlusty,
yeah,
still playing.
Marshawn, yeah. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, when you talk about going back in the draft and going back and looking at players, I've always thought that from the draft class of guys drafted in the last, you know, even if you go back 10, 12 years, and I don't know what year this guy came out. I think it might have been 95 or 96, but Antonio Winfield.
Yeah, Antoine Winfield,
I thought Antoine was a great pickup.
Yeah.
A great draft choice by the Buffalo Bills. And I was very, very upset when I saw that, you know, that he left years after 4 or 5 years here in Buffalo. Because I always thought that even though he was a small guy, I mean, you talk about a guy that could cover, a guy that could, you know, would come up and take on a tackle or a tight end or a fullback, you know, just a tough son of a gun. And but I think you've had players who have been drafted here that have played well, like you mentioned, Marshawn has played well here and has played obviously well in Seattle. But I think when you go back and look at it, you know, Antoine Winfield is probably that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think Marcell Dareus has a chance to have now that his career is kind of up and running in his third year,
yeah.
I think Dareus has a chance to be a very good player for a long time, Thurman, don't you?
I definitely think that he has an opportunity to be one of the best interior linemen, you know, especially being a draft pick here, you know, from the Buffalo Bills. But, you know, it's interesting that you say that because I think, you know, when you look at the defensive line that we have, man, you look at a guy like Kyle Wheeler. I mean, how many years does Kyle have left? So, you know, it's going to be very important to, you know, replace Kyle. You know, when his time is up to have somebody on the other side of Marcell, but I definitely think Marcell, he can be a dominant force. And I'm talking about a dominant force like, you know, maybe like a Warren Sapp type of guy. I mean, I know he doesn't say a lot, but he has really turned his game around. You know, obviously, you know, whatever what happened last year, you know, I think he's really, you know, turned into one of the best interior linemen in the National Football League.
Thurman Thomas on the line with us. A few minutes left with Thurman. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. 803-0550, the number. Mark in New Jersey. Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Oh, it's an honor to talk to you, Thurman. I was a kid watching you grow up, and I really appreciate talking to you. I wanted to ask you a question about E.J. Manuel. Do you feel it's important for him as a quarterback, especially, even though he's young, to just take ownership of this team? It's a really young team, but he being the quarterback, just own it, much like Kelly did when he came to town. Everybody knew he was the man.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, that's the position that everybody looks at on every single football team, the quarterback position. That I do think EJ has some of those qualities. And obviously the last couple of weeks, well, you know, I thought he played pretty well against Atlanta, but didn't play well, you know, this past game against Tampa Bay. So, yeah, I think he has all the qualities to be that leader, to be the guy that, hey, look, we, you know, we won this game because of, you know, other players making plays, and, you know, and like a quarterback, it always does. You know, we lost the game because I didn't play well, and it always fall on the shoulders of the quarterback. So I definitely think that he can be the guy that can, you know, that will lead this franchise back into the playoffs. So, I mean, it's I know we're not quite seeing it just yet, but I think these last three games, and I think Coach Marone has said, these last three games are important not only to him, but too important to a lot of players on this football team.
Hey, Thurman, this question came up in the first hour, and I guess I never considered it in this sense, but how long do you wait for a quarterback to be fully developed? And, you know, and I'm not – EJ, I'm not really thinking of specifically. He's going to make his, what, 10th start of the year this coming Sunday. But what do you – what do they get, a year, year and a half, 2 years? When do you know that we've got him or we don't? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you have to give him at least, you know, the first year going into the second year. I think it's a 2 year, 3 year period, first in between your first and your third year, that you have to, you know, especially being a first round draft choice. You know, I don't think you can have a quarterback that, you know, there's been some that have came in and done well. A guy comes to mind is Ben Roethlisberger when he was a rookie. You know, he did amazing things, but. You know, they had a running game, they had a great defense, but I think you have to give it a year or two for a quarterback to get settled in. I mean, as great as Peyton Manning was, I mean, I don't think he was great in his first year.
Nope.
I think there just hasn't been a lot of great quarterbacks that have been outstanding in their first year and then had to take some lumps and go through some ups and downs in order to get comfortable. I think EJ is still getting comfortable being a quarterback in the National Football League. You know, this is not college anymore. There's a lot of things that have been thrown at you that you haven't seen in college, and I think it probably does take a year and an off season and a mini camp and, you know, OTA to try to get all that stuff down.
Here's a call from Jim in Arcade, New York. Hello, Jim. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Honored to talk to you, Thurman. I just got a quick question for you. What do you think of the idea of everybody talking about releasing Stevie Johnson at the end of the year?
Well, I've heard it. I mean, I don't make the decisions over there at One Drive, and I'm sure, you know, Russ and Coach Marone and Doug Whaley, you know, those guys are going to look at it at the end of the year and go through and evaluate every single player on this football team and evaluate every single coach and everybody in the administration. So, I mean, I can't sit up here and say, yeah, I'm done with Stevie, because I think Stevie's done a lot, not only for, you know, for the Buffalo Bills organization, but he's done a lot for the community too. So I'm not going to sit up here and say, hey, get rid of Stevie. I think Stevie could be a productive football player for the Buffalo Bills for a long period of time. So, you know, but that's not my decision to make. I would love to have Stevie on my football team, but I think that's a decision that Russ and the rest of the guys over there have to sit down and evaluate, you know, after the season is over with.
Thanks for your call. We'll go to Ken in Fort Erie. Hello, Ken. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, John. Hello, Thurman.
Hi.
How you doing? I want to question the Bills' toughness. You know, like Mario Williams, okay, he's tough, but he seems to go away once in a while. And he has a good game, and then you don't hear about him. Then there's some of the other guys, the quarterback, Manuel, well, you know, he's a good runner and that, but he got hurt. And then that's the real big problem is they had so many quarterbacks come in at the beginning that that probably threw everybody off.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Thurman, toughness doesn't mean you don't get hurt, right? In fact, sometimes I think toughness is revealed when you get hurt and come back and keep playing. Don't you?
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you just said. You know, hey, how many times have you seen, you know, Daryl or Jim? You know, ask Jim how many times he got knocked out and then came back in the football game. So, yeah, I mean, that's toughness right there. I mean, that's, you know, you're a professional football player. And, you know, if you're You know, if you can't play for some reason that a lot of people think you should be playing, then you have a problem. But I don't think I've seen that, you know, with the Bills. I wish, you know, they would be a little bit more pushing and shoving or whatever, or pushing a guy off or a defender off or somebody like that. I mean, I haven't seen that, but I don't know if that goes along with being toughness. I think you just have to be a smart football player, and then, like Marvin always say, take it one play at a time. You know, hey, if you beat me on one play, I'm coming back the next play.
Yeah, you know what I think toughness is, I believe anyway, Thurman, is you know, absorbing a very brutal loss to Atlanta on you know, with those two fumbles at the end of the game, and being tough enough to come
right
back and not let it bother you the next week. And I
right
think that was a problem this past Sunday.
It definitely was a problem. You know, you talk about, you know, that wasn't physical. That was all mental.
Yeah.
I think when we talk about that, you know, and you know what? Hey, look, every football player out there is tough. You know, they're well-built, physically fit. But it's all upstairs, though. It's how you perform, man, mentally, coming back the following week. And I just don't think that team was there the game against Tampa. And I think it showed first play of the game.
Thurman, I was thinking about you last Saturday, and I hope you had the mental toughness to survive the way the Oklahoma State Cowboys lost to the Sooners. I was watching the game in my hotel room in Tampa Bay, and I thought, oh, that Thurman, he's not going to be happy with the way this is ending.
No, trust me, John, I was not happy at all. I was not happy at all. So, yeah, I mean, it was, and top it off with that, you know, I was in Montreal Saturday, and saw the Sabres lose, and then I come back, the Bills lost. So it was a really tough weekend for me.
Somebody tweeted in, did Thurman see the Photoshop picture of him in a Montreal Canadiens jersey? Did you wear a Canadiens jersey, Thurman?
Yeah, I wore a Canadiens
what?
Jersey.
What?
I had a Bills jersey on. Yeah. Hey, you know what? When you get two free suites, you got to do stuff like that.
They made you wear a Canadiens jersey.
I just put it on. They had my number on it, my name on the back.
Oh, you had to.
Hey, John, don't go there, okay?
I didn't. I'm just reading a tweet. Somebody tweeted that in a minute ago.
I do what I got to do sometimes, okay?